In this case, Judge Miller chose to impose a guideline sentence of 37 months on Mr. Browski. And we contend that that sentence was unreasonable and that the presumption enacted by the United States Supreme Court in the Rita decision is not applicable.
Rita didn't create a presumption. Rita held that courts of appeals are entitled
to raise a
have such a presumption. Mikatiuk creates that presumption. Rita just holds that cases like Mikatiuk are not wrong.
We feel
some circuits, by the way, don't have that presumption.
I'm aware of that, Your Honor. Yes. When you look at the facts of this case, and even in districts where there is a presumption, the court may not rely on that presumption if the district court failed to properly apply the 3553 factors. And in this case, we feel that the district court did fail to properly apply
them. I'm now lost. The presumption is that a sentence within the guidelines is reasonable. And then you can show that if there's some legal error the judge has committed, that presumption may be overcome. But you're now, it sounds like you want to treat the presumption as something, as a bursting bubble, that as soon as the defendant challenges it, it goes poof. And it, whatever it is, it's not a bursting bubble presumption.
I understand, Your Honor. But this court may not necessarily rely on that presumption if it finds that the district court failed to properly articulate and apply the 3553A factors.
And if what you're saying is the presumption shouldn't apply here because there was a legal error, suppose the district judge had said, I think 3553A is a bunch of fuzziness, you know, and I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just going to go with the guidelines and close my mind to everything. We would, of course, say that was a legal error. We would send it back and say, no, sorry, you have to go through the 3553A factors. But that said, I'm looking at the sentencing memorandum that Chief Judge Miller
and he doesn't say
filed
that.
Here. He certainly doesn't say that. He goes through factors particular to Mr. Borowski, his mental health condition, his past experiences with violence. He doesn't think the medical records. No, it's not a book-length treatment, but it certainly looks to me like he's thinking about the factors. He says he's thinking about 3553A. So where does that leave us?
Well, I think the court did apply or attempt to apply the 3553A factors. I think the court gave undue deference to the mental health, and specifically
I'm lost. What do you mean undue deference to the mental health?
I'm sure that was a poor choice of words. The court didn't give sufficient emphasis to the mental health records of Mr. Browski.
He didn't give as much weight to a particular factor as you wish he had, but that discretion is for the district judge. That's the one thing the Supreme Court keeps emphasizing.
That's correct.
If there's discretion to be exercised about how much weight to give to a factor, that discretion belongs to the district court and not to us. So your claim he should have given more weight to X cuts no ice.
Well, I think in the sense of the Miranda and Dyer decision that holds that a court may, doesn't say should, but it holds for the principle that a person who acts under the effect of mental illness is worthy of less punishment than one who does not act under that same disability.
The district judge appears to have agreed with that. You got a sentence, your client got a sentence at the bottom of the range rather than the top of the range or something else. But what I don't understand is what you think the legal error is as opposed to giving weight to a particular factor in a way that you argued he should have given more weight to. Right, where's the legal error as opposed to I don't like the way he exercised discretion?
Well, I think at some point, if the court fails to give sufficient weight to a particular factor, a factor that this court has identified as supporting less punishment, if the court diminishes that, then the sentence becomes unreasonable. It becomes greater than necessary to satisfy the purposes of sentencing.
But here's the problem. On the one hand, there are a number of cases from the Supreme Court and elsewhere, but let's just stick with the Supreme Court, that say the job of picking a reasonable sentence, as my colleague is saying, belongs to the district judge. Here, the district judge picks 37 months, right? And he thinks that's a reasonable sentence. Maybe another judge might have thought 36 months was a reasonable sentence for Mr. Borowski, or somebody else might have thought 35, or one can play around quite a while with these numbers. But unless the judge said something like, in my personal view, mental health arguments are really just so much astrology, and I'm not going to take mental health into account, there is the kind of error you can take to a court of appeals. There, a court of appeals might say, no, you just can't rule out categorically this type of argument. But we've said many times, we are not the ones there to pick the one and only sentence that's a reasonable sentence. There might be a number of sentences that would be reasonable. And I guess I'm having trouble understanding why 37 months is just so wildly off that we should intervene.
Well, it's the appellant's position that when you have a psychiatrist report that talks about impaired judgment, lack of impulse control, that really does go to culpability.
Yeah, but of course it also suggests that your client is undeterrable. You're lucky in a way that the district court didn't say, look, the kind of mental disturbance they're arguing to me is one that says this man cannot be deterred by the normal processes of the criminal law, and therefore I'm going to sentence him to the statutory maximum for incapacitation.
Counsel, didn't he give him consideration at, giving him at the low end of the guidelines?
Yes, he did, Your Honor.
Was this asked for at the time of sentencing? I don't think so. He didn't raise it, did he?
Mr. Borowski? No, we were asking for a below-guideline sentence.
I believe
the government recommended that the court impose a sentence at the low end of the guideline.
Yeah.
And the court chose that. If there are no further questions, I will relinquish my time and for the government. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Truitt. Mr. Schaefer.
May it please the Court, Counsel, Frank Schaefer for the United States Government. Your Honor, we believe that the District Court did make a proper determination of the sentence on this case. We believe that the District Court examined 5K2.13 and the pre-sentence report. In addition, I believe 17 pages of medical examination and summaries were submitted to the court to determine Mr. Borowski's mental condition, mental impairment. We were able to examine those, obviously, also at sentencing, and we believe, based upon his history, the substance abuse, which was also detailed in many of the medical reports while he was under treatment for marijuana and alcohol, also the problems he'd had with alcohol since he'd been under these treatments, in addition to his contacts with the law, we believe that Judge Miller's sentence at 37 months at the bottom of the guidelines was proper, and we believe under the Dyer guidelines it was correct, and we don't see any problem with it. We'd ask this court to stay with that. And if the court has no other questions for me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Truitt? Not that there's much to reply to.
Nothing. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.